The Spirit of Jehovah Adonai is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Right? Amen. Do you have the Spirit of Jehovah Adonai upon you? Right? When we hear that, the Spirit of Jehovah Adonai, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. We think about the wonderful picture it was when Jesus read these words, right? And then, you know, read it, sat down and said, today this has been, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. Amen. But if you think about just the meaning, the beginning of these words, right here, we equate this, well, obviously it's written in Isaiah, and we know that Jesus, the most famous thing is when he said it and the eyes of all were fastened upon him, and he sat down. The Spirit of Jehovah Adonai is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Amen. But when you read those words, the thing is it talks about all of us, does it not? The Spirit of Jehovah is upon you. And you and all you who have accepted Jesus Christ our Lord, amen? The Spirit of the Lord is upon you to anoint you, right? Anoint means Christ. Christ means anoint, to anoint. The Spirit of the Lord God, if you've taken Christ in your life, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon you and has anointed you to bring good news to the poor, amen? You know, I think this is going to be a good one today, hallelujah. Because I look around the room, amen, praise the Lord, especially in this church. It's so nice that we have this congregation, amen. We don't have a congregation of 1,000 or 2,000 or something where I couldn't even see the back of the room. I can look around this room and I see everyone, and I know, you know, I'm pretty sure that we have all accepted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Amen. Amen. Everybody in this room has accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, right? At some point you have heard that Jesus loves you. Right? And he does. Amen? At some point you have heard that salvation is a free gift, and that is absolutely true. And at some point you have believed in your heart, and you have confessed with your mouth, and you have called upon his name, and you have been saved. And all that is exactly true. Amen? Salvation is free and easy, and that is 100% true. Hallelujah. But Jesus has a kingdom then for those who are saved that is your inheritance. Jesus has an inheritance for you after you have been saved. Salvation is free and easy. Hallelujah. And we love to preach Jesus in churches. Amen. And that's great because Jesus is a likable guy. Jesus is easily preached. Amen. I mean, who doesn't love Jesus, right? Who doesn't love a guy who goes around feeding people and healing people and casting out demons, right? And not condemning the prostitutes and eating with the sinners. Who doesn't love that guy but the religious hierarchy, right? Who want to keep their place. But Jesus is an easily preachable guy. Right? But the things that he preached, the things that he taught are harder, right, than just preaching Jesus, than just preaching Jesus loves you. Salvation is free and easy, but the things that Jesus taught about the kingdom, those are difficult and hard, right? Jesus taught about the kingdom, your inheritance, and the kingdom principles and teachings are not simple, and they are not easy. Their teachings are difficult, right? Because in Matthew 4:11, Jesus calls the kingdom a mystery, a mystery. So we think we know things about the kingdom, and we think we know things about, you know, salvation, what Hebrews calls things that accompany salvation. But Jesus speaks about these things in parables, and he says it. I speak to them in parables for the specific purpose that its understanding only goes to those who would seek it out. Unless, or unto you, amen, as it is written, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. But unto those who are without, all these things are done in parables. In parables. Jesus speaks and teaches about the kingdom of God only in mysteries and parables, for the specific purpose that it is understood only by those who would seek it out. For it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the honor of kings to search the matter out. Salvation is free and easy. Amen? For the Israelites, all they had to do, right, when they went into the promised land, right, all they had to do was walk over the Jordan, right? And God parted the waters of the Jordan. They walked over on dry land. That's it. They entered the promised land. Salvation, that was free and easy. God parted the waters of the Jordan. They walked over on dry land. They went into the promised land. But to inherit the promised land, right, they had to strap on a sword. They had to go to Jericho. Right, they had to walk around Jericho 6 days without saying a word. Okay, without complaining about their problem, God said, don't say a word, okay, for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they walked around it 7 times and then shouted, and the walls came down. But that wasn't it. They still had to go in with their swords in, and they had to take the city. Then they had to go to the next one. Then they had to go to the next one, and God said, drive them all out. I will go before you, but you will have to drive them out. Their salvation, their entrance into the promised land was easy, but their inheritance of the kingdom was not. Their inheritance for the kingdom was a war. Amen? The kingdom of God is not easy. The kingdom of God is not easy. Salvation is free and easy. But the kingdom of God is not easy. It is difficult and it is hard to obtain by design. And its truths are hidden. Because the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in a field. It's like one pearl of great price among many pearls. It's a mystery spoken of in parables, and it must be sought after and found. Why? Because it is the key to having all things added unto you. Right? All power, all glory, all kingdom, honor, power, and glory. It's the key to having all of these things added unto you. And you know what? Just like we prayed, you can't give the keys to the car. You can't give the keys to the kingdom, all right, easily. Amen? It comes with learning, and it comes with teaching, and it comes with understanding, and it comes with seeking, and it comes with hard work. Amen? Seek first the kingdom of God, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Added, the things that are added unto salvation. Jesus rarely spoke about salvation. But he always spoke about the kingdom, right? A man had a kingdom, and he went away, and he left his servants in charge of that kingdom. And when he came back, he demanded an account of them. What did you do with the things that I left you in my kingdom, right? The kingdom is like a great treasure. The kingdom is like unto this, and the kingdom is like unto that. Jesus taught about the kingdom on earth, amen? Salvation, he rarely taught about. But the kingdom, Jesus wanted you to know. But he wanted you to know by seeking, because he taught about it in parables. Right? A sower went into the field. A sower sowed wheat, and the enemy came and put in tares. Always teaching about the kingdom. Let me ask you something, beloved. Why did Jesus live amongst us for 33 years? Amen. Right? He lived amongst us. Was it for salvation that Jesus lived amongst us for 33 years? Because we equate Jesus with salvation, and that is absolutely correct. Amen? Right? But was it for salvation that Jesus lived amongst us? No. Jesus the baby could have provided salvation. Because Jesus, the baby, was fully man and fully God, right? Jesus, the baby, was the perfect sacrifice. Exodus 12 tells us that the Passover sacrifice was to be a male lamb without blemish in the first year of the first year. Jesus, the baby, when he was born, was sinless. He was the perfect sacrifice, and Herod sought to kill him in his first year. If Jesus was only about salvation, it could have been over and done with early on. The perfect sacrifice could have been born and sacrificed, right? The blood would have been shed. We would have been saved. Amen? But Jesus is so much more than just salvation. That's why he lived amongst us for 33 years, to be a teaching, an example of the kingdom of heaven, of what the kingdom of heaven on earth was to look like. He was to be the example of what we lost in the garden when Adam lost the kingdom in the garden, where he could just walk around and God would say, Adam, whatever you would call it, that's what it's going to be. Right? Be careful of what you call it, Adam, because whatever you call it, that's what it is. That's what it is. And Jesus did the same thing. He walked around to show us what the kingdom on earth restored would look like. Whatever he called it, that's what it was. Whatever he said, that's what it was. Whatever his authority was, that happened. Like the centurion said, you're the one who has the authority. I say to a servant, go, and he goes, and this one to come, and he comes. Right? That's authority, and he recognized that in Jesus. And you have the same thing. You don't have to come to my house. You just say the word, and my servant shall be healed. He recognized the kingdom authority in Jesus, and that's what Jesus called him faithful. In the kingdom, Jesus says, stand at the front of the boat and tell the wind and the waves what to do. In the kingdom, Jesus tells John's disciples that the sick are healed and the dead live, and the poor have the gospel preached to them, and the captives are set free. In the kingdom, you are the head and not the tail. In the kingdom, everything that you put your hand to prospers. In the kingdom, the strength of Samson and the wisdom of Solomon and the riches of David, beloved, everything we need is in the kingdom. In the kingdom. So now you might be saying to yourself, preacher, I've heard this. All this sounds great, right? All this sounds great, but how does this help me here and now? Right? The kingdom, right? Jesus preached about the kingdom, but he preached about it in parables. Are you going to do the same? Amen? I need a job. I need a car. I've got bills to pay. The kids are sick. The washing machine's broke. The kingdom sounds great, but it also sounds so existential. Amen? Seek the kingdom. The kingdom of God is at hand. What does this all mean? What does it all mean? Because, you know, when the Pharisees asked him, Jesus said, oh, the kingdom is not here and it's not there. The kingdom is within you. Right? The kingdom is not found over here and it's not found there. The kingdom is within you. What does that mean, preacher? I haven't found anything inside of me that pays the bills, fixes the washing machine, makes my kids better, silences the storm. How, where, and what is this kingdom? And beloved, unfortunately, I cannot just tell you to turn to page 1035 in your Bible and it will tell you how to find the kingdom. That's the bummer part. Amen? But the good news, however, is that Jesus did not say that you had to find the kingdom. He said that you had to seek the kingdom. Amen? Seek the kingdom and you shall find. Seek the kingdom and the kingdom will come running to you. Amen? Seek the kingdom and the Father will come running to you out of the kingdom walls and throw his arms around you and kiss you and give you a robe and give you sandals and give you a new ring. Amen? Because the kingdom of God is at hand. And the kingdom of God has come. And it is so close, it is inside of you, that if you seek it, it will find you. Because that's the God that we serve. So today, if you're interested, are you interested? Holy. Amen. Thank you. Well, somebody wants to be interested. I want somebody to be interested. If you're interested today, for the low, low price of absolutely nothing, I'm going to give you the Bible roadmap to seeking the kingdom of heaven. Amen? I'm going to open up the mysteries. I'm going to open up the parable. And this is where we're going to go, to the first chapter of Ruth, to the book of Ruth. Amen? And as you turn to Ruth, and please turn to Ruth, just ponder the wonder that is the Word of God. As I was reading Ruth, the Word of God just opened up to me. And I mean, it's crazy. Seemingly, this is the simple story of a woman's hard life, right? I mean, why is it even in here? It's the story of a Moabite woman, right? Her life was hard. It's just the story of a woman's life. And yet, it's only one of the most important books in the entire Bible, right? The journey of a Gentile woman who leaves her heathen life and follows a new God and meets a new Jesus and becomes the bride and inheritor of all of the kingdom blessings. That's the story of Ruth. Amen? And just think about it. Think about this Bible for a second. Think about the supernatural nature of this book. The book of Ruth, all right, is a parallel of our walk 3,000 years later. 3,000 years after the book of Ruth was written, we would walk this walk, okay? After meeting our kinsman redeemer, Jesus, who wouldn't even be born for another 1,000 years after the book of Ruth is born. So this book is written about a Savior coming 1,000 years later and the walk of the people 2,000 years after that. Who also, incidentally, would be her own great, 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 great grandson, Jesus. That's why this is the best-selling book of all time, right here. Amen?
Amen. The New York Times
only. That's right. How awesome is that? How could you not? I mean, when you realize the supernatural nature of this book, how can you not love it? How can you not immerse yourself in it? How can it not be your all in all every day? But I digress. How do we seek the kingdom? Step by step. Hopefully you're at Ruth chapter 1, verse 4. Okay? They took some of the wives of the women of Moab. The name was one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelled there for about 10 years. Step one, okay, this is us. Here is a heathen woman. Oh, TV, it's okay, buddy. Amen. Here is a heathen woman who has been raised on false gods, separated from the one true living God, living her life in her heathen world. This is all of us as we first start our journey. The New Testament parallel is 1 Peter 2. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you were not a people. Skip down to verse 5. Mahlon and Chilion died. Step 2 in our lives. A life-altering event shakes her world up. Maybe somebody's house catches on fire. Maybe somebody's whole town catches on fire. Right? A life-altering event shakes her entire world up. The New Testament parallel sounds like this. You did not choose me, but I chose you. Chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. Skip down to 15 and 16. So Naomi says, "Behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and gone back to her gods. Go with her. Go back." And Ruth said, "Don't ask me to leave you or to return from following you, for wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be my God." So step three in a life, repentance is made. Repentance is made, okay? While others turn back to their old lives. Okay, this is before she's met Boaz. This is before she's met Jesus. Her mind has been turned. Repentance, you know, remember, repentance means to change your mind, right? So repentance has been made while others turn back to their old lives. The Christian walk begins by seeking something better. The New Testament reference is this. John preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John preached it before Jesus ever came on the scene. Amen? We think about repenting like after we meet Jesus, right? We meet Jesus, and then we repent. By the time you meet Jesus and the Holy Spirit comes in you, you're a new creation, all right? To get there, first we must repent. We must change our mind. Repentance brings towards God's about the understanding for the need of a Savior. Okay? Her Christian walk begins by seeking something better. She has repented of her mind. She's not going to go back to her old ways, with her old friends, to the old bars, to the old places. Amen? She's not going to go back wearing the same other clothes, doing the same things that she did. Move on to chapter 2, beloved. Now Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, "Let me go into the field and glean ears of corn, and I might find grace in someone's sight." So Naomi said unto her, "Go, my daughter." And she went, and she came, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers. And it just so happened that she came to a part of the field who belonged to Boaz. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Hello? Right? And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem. Who else came from Bethlehem, beloved? Amen. Step 4. Understanding her need for a Savior, Ruth goes searching. And Jesus comes to her, right? She didn't go to him. She went to the field. It happened to belong to him. But it says Boaz came from Bethlehem. Okay? Ruth goes searching, and Jesus comes to her. Jesus comes to you. Seek and ye shall find, right? While you were still a long way off, your father saw you coming. And filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. Amen? Then Boaz said unto Ruth, "Do you not hear these things, my daughter? Do not go to glean in another field. Do not leave here. Abide here by my maidens. Let your eyes be on the field that they reap, and do not go after others. Have I not charged my servants that they should not touch thee? And when you are thirsty, go unto the vessels that they have drawn, and drink what the young man have drawn." Right? Drop down to verse 14, 15, and 16. And Boaz said unto her, "And then at mealtime, come to me and eat of the bread and dip your morsel in vinegar. Come, partake of the bread and the wine that I am offering." And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached to her some parched corn, some of the best of the field. And she ate, and she sufficed, and she left. And when she had risen up, Boaz commanded his young man, and he said, "Let her glean even among the good stuff. Let her take some of the good stuff, and do not reproach her. And not only that, let some of the handfuls that you grab fall to her, that she may pick those up as well, and do not rebuke her." I hope you're getting excited, man. I'm preaching myself excited right here. Step 5, Jesus asks her to stay close. Do not stray, amen? And he puts his protection around her. And he brings her into communion with him, and he showers her with blessings. Amen? Like this new, fresh walk that Christians have. Do you ever watch a Christian with their new, fresh walk and be like, "Dude, you just became a Christian. How'd you get all this good stuff?" Right? How do you have all this joy? How do you have all this, you know? Because that new Christian walk, man, and Jesus is showering them with blessings, right? Amen? It is pretty exciting. Hallelujah. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will share a meal together as friends," is what the word says. "I am the gate. I am the doorway. If anyone enters through me, he shall be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Amen. The thief comes to steal and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it in all of its fullness. You know, I think about this. He will come in and he will go out and he will find pasture. Amen. When I go to heaven, like, is he talking about heaven? Because when I go to heaven, I don't want to come back out. Right? Like, when I go to heaven, I'm not coming back until I come back with Jesus. Amen. But no, Jesus says, he'll come in and go out. He'll find pasture. You know what I mean? Yeah, now he'll be living his life. When you find me, right, here's the kingdom. You'll go. You'll do your own thing. You'll be doing, but you'll be in and out of the kingdom there. Amen? The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and they may have it in all of its fullness. Okay, now let's stop for a moment right here, okay? Because she has met Jesus in the field, right? And they're close. Amen? She's met Jesus now. The repentance has happened. She's met Jesus. They're close. She's staying here. Everything's great. He's got her hedged in protection. He's got showers of blessings coming upon her, right? And this is where many Christians stop. This is where we stop because it's comfortable. Amen? We've met Christ. We've become saved. And Jesus has entered into our lives. And he has immersed in us all of the good things. Drink the water. Eat the parched corn. Commune with me. Have the bread and dip your bread in the vinegar. Amen. Communion and blessings and salvation. And it's new and it's exciting and it's all great. And it's comfortable and it's familiar and it's lovely. And we decide to stay here. Amen, because he's given us his protection, and he has lavished us with his gifts. And so often, this is the place that we stay. And why not? It's comfortable, and it's safe. Jesus feeding us with parched corn and bread and wine. We become saved, but we spend our lives gleaning in his field, never fully pursuing our Savior after we've reached his salvation. Pursuing our Savior, right? He just pursued us. Amen? We went into his field, and he came running after us. He came from Bethlehem, and the Father came running after us. And then now we say, stop there. Never fully pursuing our Savior after we've reached his salvation. And this, beloved, is a kingdom principle. This is why so many people never come into their kingdom inheritance. Because they stop pursuing their Savior once he's found them. Once he's found them. If you want to seek the kingdom, right? It's the next steps. The pursuing him now that are the important ones. Amen? So now comes the hard part. That was the easy part. Right? We said it. Salvation is free and easy. And that was the easy part. Now comes the hard part. Now comes the kingdom principles. Ruth chapter 3, verse 11. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, should I not now seek a home for you, that it may be well with you forever?" Right? Should I not now seek a home for you? Okay, remember, she met Boaz. She's still gleaning. She's still gleaning in those fields. He's still dropping handfuls of things for her, amen? Ruth does not know that that field is hers, right? That Boaz's home is hers already. That's her inheritance. We know because we know the end of the story, right? But she doesn't know this. She doesn't know that everything that Boaz owns belongs to her. But she's gleaning in his fields right now. And Naomi knows it. Naomi sees it. "My daughter, should I not seek a home for you that it now might be well with you forever?" Stop being a citizen. I'm sorry, step six is when being a citizen and being a follower, right, in the outside courts is simply being simply saved from the flames now is no longer enough, beloved. And that's a good word. It's no longer enough. Jesus, I want everything that you have for me, right? Now I want everything that Jesus has for me. Now I want my full inheritance. His kingdom and life abundant. This is where we find it. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things are added unto you. It's been free and easy up until now. And now you've made the decision to seek the kingdom, right? To go farther, to go deeper. And farther and deeper we will go. Amen. Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. I love it. Bunch of threes, baby. Right? Ruth chapter 3, verse 3. Now, wash yourself and anoint yourself and put on your best clothes and go down to the threshing floor. That's a bad statement right there, man. I'm telling you. We know him as Jesus Christ, right? Christ means the anointed one. So listen to it. Wash yourself and Christ yourself and put on your white garments and head on down to the threshing floor. Beloved, do you know what a threshing floor is? Yeah. Do you know what a threshing floor is? It's the place where the wheat is separated from the chaff. It's the place where the useless stuff is separated from the useful grain. It's the place where the good fruit is separated from the bad fruit. It's the biblical place where the sin is separated from the sinner. Go down, wash yourself, anoint yourself, and head on down to the threshing floor. Oof. Jesus has given you a new spirit. Jesus gave you a new spirit. When you accepted Jesus, God breathed his Holy Spirit into you. You became a new creation. Amen. Jesus gave you a new spirit. And he changed your heart. But now it's time to bring your flesh into submission. Now it's time to change your tongue. Right? Your vulgar speech, the crude jokes, the angry words, the hurtful gossip. Okay? Good job. Come on back. Now it's time to change your eyes. Right? The things that you watch, the internet that you surf. Good. Now, come on. Come on back. Now it's time to change your ears. What are the things that we listen to? Right? What are the things that we agree with? What are the things that we laugh at, right, in mixed company, right? Okay, come on back, man. The threshing floor is not easy. Now it's time to change your thoughts, the things that we dwell upon, the thoughts and the opinions that are contrary to God's words, amen? Now it's time to change the places that we go. Come on back here. Now it's time to change the way that you act when your wife is not around. Right? Come on back. Now it's time to change the pride and the arrogance. Ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Amen? Come on back. Now it's time. That's the threshing floor. Amen? Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, Lord, stop me because that's not my job. That's not my job. That is the Holy Spirit in you. I'm just giving you a few references. Amen? But that's what the threshing floor is like. Amen? That's what the threshing floor is. And I guarantee you, and I tell you, beloved, I love you so much, we will not find the kingdom of heaven until we go through the threshing floor. We will not skip classes. This is not like school that we know. Amen? We don't get to skip classes. We don't get to skip learning patience. We don't get to skip trials and tribulations that bring about virtue. And we don't get to skip the class that brings about knowledge. We don't get to skip reading our word on a daily basis as we can in our flesh. Amen. We don't get to skip knowledge and understanding. We don't get to skip self-control. We don't get to skip any of the steps. Amen. That's what the threshing floor is all about. The threshing floor is about not skipping those steps. I bring my body into submission, lest when I have done preaching, I am disqualified. I hold all thoughts captive to the Lord. Right? We're reading out of the Old Testament in Ruth, but I'm bringing you to the New Testament teachings to show that this is the way it happens, right? Just because Jesus came and gave us grace. Amen. Here's the New Testament, the after Jesus stuff that it tells us. I find that there is a war between my spirit and my flesh. I hold all thoughts captive to the Lord, knowing that those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Amen. Wash me and Christ me. And then meet me at the threshing floor. Ah, I believe that's where we're at as a church. That's where we're at as a nation. That's where we're at as a people. Amen. We've received salvation. We all love Jesus. Amen. Now wash me. You want to go farther? You want to be more than a citizen? You want to be more than a follower? Wash me and Christ me and meet me at the threshing floor. And that is where we seek the kingdom of God. Because Ruth replied then in Ruth 3, verse 5, and she replied, all that you say, I will do. And she went down to the threshing floor just as her mother-in-law had told her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk then, amen, when Boaz had had his way at the threshing floor, do you get it? When Boaz had had his way at the threshing floor, and now his heart was merry, right? He went down and he lied down at the heap of grain, and she came in softly and uncovered his feet, and she lay down at his feet. And at midnight, man, there's so much in here, isn't there? At midnight, the man was startled, and he turned over, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who are you? Who are you? Who is this? Who is this, right? I don't recognize you. You were this person. You were this person. And now you're this person. Who are you? And she said, I am Ruth. I am Ruth. This one that's gone through the threshing floor. That person that I used to be, I don't know that person. The one with the old clothes, the one who was gleaning in the fields, the one who came out of Moab. I don't know who that is. We don't know who that is. I am Ruth. I am Ruth, your maidservant. And now spread your skirt over your maidservant, for you are my kinsman redeemer. And he said, may you be blessed by the Lord, my daughter. For you have made this last kindness greater than the first, in that you have not gone back, and you have not followed another. You have not gone after the young man, whether they are poor or they are rich. And now, my daughter, read verse 11. Read verse 11. And now, my daughter, do not fear, for I will do for you anything that you ask of me. All that you ask. Step 7, beloved. Step 7. The bride pursues her husband, and she is obedient to him, and she lays at his feet, just being with him, just spending time with him, right? He is no longer just her savior. He is now her husband, and she is his bride. And his kingdom is now hers. All that you ask, all that he has, all that was Boaz's. We know the story. We know that Boaz was a very rich man, right? We know that he was a rich and important man, a man of great esteem, a man of great everything. And now all that Boaz has belongs to this lowly, widowed Moabitess Gentile woman. Amen? The kingdom is given to the lowest of the low. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. That's not an Old Testament verse. That's something that Jesus said. And Martha was cumbered with much work. But Mary sat at the feet of Jesus and listened to him. And Martha said, Lord, tell her to help me. But Jesus replied, she has chosen the better thing, which will not be taken away from her. And at midnight, the cry went out. The bridegroom is coming. So much in there, isn't there? And anything you ask in my name, it will be done for you. So here we go. The kingdom is hers, right? Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. And he went into her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bore a son. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, a son has been born to Naomi, and they named him Obed. And he was the father of Jesse, the father of David, the father of 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 Jesus. Amen? It is complete. The bride has become an everlasting kingdom. Let me say it again. The bride has become an everlasting kingdom, as it is written. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, and no more sorrow, and no more crying, and no more pain. For the former things have all passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I will give unto him who is thirsty of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcomes shall inherit all things. I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all the liars, all those who have not gone through the threshing floor, shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And then one of the angels who had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues talked with me and said, come, come here, for I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a stone, most precious. I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of a sun, not of the moon, nothing to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. And the Lamb is the light of it thereof. Genesis starts with heaven on earth. And Revelation ends with heaven on earth. And in between, the kingdom of God is found within you on earth. How does this kingdom function? I guess we'll have to wait until next time. But in the meantime, amen? In the meantime, keep these words. The beautiful story on how the bride pursues the groom and the groom pursues the bride. Do yourself a favor and read the Song of Songs, amen? That love letter written to God from God to you. Beloved, may Adonai bless you and keep you. And Adonai make his face to shine upon you. Amen. And be gracious to you. And Adonai lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. In Jesus' name.